The Fan on Demand. Go to fan590.com and sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. This is the Showdown. With Showdown Joe on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Welcome to the Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. For the next hour, we're going to talk mixed martial arts, UFC, Dream, Strikeforce, Bellator, and everything in between on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590 in Toronto, as well as the Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 960 in Calgary. Once again, my co-host in studio is Tyler Mason. You can catch him on Twitter at Tyler Mason, myself at Showdown Joe. Both of us are on Facebook. Busy week, Tyler. Just came back, obviously, from Philadelphia covering UFC 133. An eventful week, to say the least. We will look back at the results from UFC 133. We will look forward to UFC Live 5, Hardy versus Lytle, which is airing exclusively on Rogers Sportsnet on all four Sportsnet stations across the country this Sunday. It's going to be a great fight. That main event will break down that card as well. We have tons of news to talk about. There's a new poll on showdown.ca that I want people to talk about. We'll open up the phone lines a little bit later on to get your thoughts on a variety of issues and news stories in mixed martial arts. I love hearing from the fans. We have some of the best callers out there in the world. As Dana White has stated, Tyler, Canada is the mecca of mixed martial arts. That includes our fans and our listeners to the show.
Yeah, definitely. I always love hearing from the fans and their questions and a lot of their comments as well.
All right, let's talk about UFC 133 again. Philadelphia was my second trip down to Philadelphia. The last time I was there was that epic fight with Anderson Silva and Forrest Griffin, as well as BJ Penn. Taking out Kenny Florian. My second trip to Philadelphia, a little bit different. I actually got to try a cheesesteak. First time ever. Last time we didn't have a chance, but this time there's a couple of places, very popular, Pat and Gino's. Literally, one is on the northeast corner, one is on the southeast corner, and they are lined up to the gills. We went there on Sunday. If you watched this week's episode, or if you are watching this week's episode of UFC Connected, you can see at the very end I've got Gino's cheesesteak in one hand, Pat's in the other hand, and as we say goodbye, I try them both, and on Twitter I gave my results as to which one was the better cheesesteak. So if you're following me on Twitter, you got the results. The actual event itself, actually the week itself was incredible. I got to watch the movie Warrior that you want to see big time.
I definitely want to see that movie.
I highly, highly recommend it. Two thumbs up, five stars, whatever you want to call it. A great, great story in the world of mixed martial arts. Incredible storyline.
Is that the best mixed martial arts related movie you've seen?
Yeah. But movie wise, the storyline is phenomenal. The way they put this thing together. I don't want to give away too much information because it's releasing, I believe, September 9th, 8th or 9th, if I'm not mistaken. There will be some screenings here in Toronto. And I know you already mentioned that you want to have a UFC Connected / Showdown team event to go watch the movie.
Yeah, maybe a little field trip and we can go check that
field
one out.
Field trip it is. Is it my turn to pay or is it Jacob's turn to pay? That's the real question. I think if I got to pay for you guys, I'm not going to be a happy camper. No, I will definitely, definitely pay for you guys to watch this movie. It's absolutely incredible. A great event. I mean, I had a chance to talk in depth with the likes of, you know, Sugar Rashad Evans, Rory McDonald. We'll get into that as well. Chael Sonnen had a Q&A for the Fight Club members. This guy should get into stand-up comedy. Did you get a chance to see it?
He seemed like a little bit more of a reserved Chael Sonnen the past couple of weeks.
Oh, heck no.
No?
No. Have you seen the Q&A?
I haven't seen the Q&A, but I have seen his comments on the stand fight and some of his comments about Brazil.
You have to get online. I think it's at ufc.tv or ufc.com. Just look it up. Chael Sonnen's Q&A with the Fight Club members. Chael was at his finest. And I know there's so many media out there that get upset that we shouldn't be enabling Chael Sonnen because a lot of the stuff he says is, you know, is hyperbole. But that's Chael Sonnen. Once you get past the fact that, you know, it's not pro wrestling, it's just Chael Sonnen. Being Chael Sonnen, don't take it personal. Don't take offense to it like he's destroying the sport of mixed martial arts. Enjoy it for what it is. He's a great trash talker. It's stand-up comedy, to be honest with you, because a lot of it's lunacy, but it's hilarious.
Well, I think as long as he's, you know, having fun with it and it's kind of tongue-in-cheek a little bit.
It's all tongue-in-cheek.
As long as people aren't taking it to heart and, you know, taking offense.
There's so many people that are taking it seriously. What I was doing is some of the stuff he was saying when he was asking the questions, I would sort of summarize his answers and I would start it off with pound Chael says on Twitter. Oh my goodness. There were people that were so ticked off with me and ticked off at Chael and just, how can you possibly say that? That's because he says he's the current UFC middleweight champion, the linear champion, and the greatest middleweight of all time.
He does refer to himself as the champion, the middleweight champion in almost every promo.
And that started with us.
Yeah. In every interview as well. I mean, it's funny.
People relax. It's fun. It's just Chael Sonnen being Chael Sonnen, regardless. Then there was the weigh-ins and, of course, the event on Saturday night. Let's go through some of these results real quick, because what will happen is you and I can babble so much on so many of these fights. Stop me if you want me to talk about any one of these fights in depth. You've already got your finger up. I haven't even started yet.
No, I was just... Yeah, you got
ready.
It. You got it. I'm ready.
You are trigger happy. All right, let's go real quick. The first fight of the evening was a preliminary card, and these fights were all available on Facebook. Rafael Natal takes out Paul Bradley. One judge had it 30-27. I completely disagree. 29-28 would have been my opinion. Mike Brown takes out Nam Phan. Only one judge scored the first round 10-8. It was a definite 10-8 round. But then Nam Phan came back in rounds 2 and 3. This fight should have been scored a draw.
Well, I had Mike Brown narrowly winning, but the second round definitely, I think, was the most telling of the fight, where you could see that Brown was fading and Nam Phan was kind of coming on stronger. So, yeah, I can see how you can score it a draw. I can see how you score it for Mike Brown. And that first round was definitely a 10-8.
Yeah, definite, because I think Nam Phan won rounds 2 and 3, so the scores would have been, in my opinion, a draw. Johnny Hendricks takes out Mike Pierce. Very technical battle. There were so many fans that were, you know, technically booing, and not technically booing, they were just simply booing in the stands. I was seeing some of the reaction on Twitter. I'm starting to realize there's such a massive fan base that does not appreciate some of the intricacies and technicalities that make up a mixed martial arts fight, because they just don't get it. These are two wrestlers that were neutralizing each other, and it was forced to be a stand-up fight. Both these guys are striking isn't the greatest in the sport, but good enough to say, you know what, I can knock another guy out. I agree with the decision, 29-28, but it was a split decision. Could you have seen it for Mike Pierce?
I didn't see it for Mike Pierce. I saw it for Hendricks. And I think it was a good fight for Hendricks as well, because it kind of showcased his improved striking. I mean, Pierce just seemed like he was a little bit slower in all of his shots. So, I mean, I think it's kind of a good showcase fight for Hendricks to say, hey, listen, I got a lot of striking to back up my wrestling.
Ivan Menjivar, Canadian, a guy that I've known for a very long time. He was George St. Pierre's very first opponent when I was working back in the UCC days. He took on Nick Pace. Pace, I think, won the first round. Or was it? But either way, going into the third round, it was split. It was pretty much a consensus. It was split. It was one round apiece. Menjivar owned Pace for the majority of the third round, until Pace landed a thunderous knee, which changed the fight completely, with Menjivar covering up his eye, running around, running away. And that, to me, changed that round completely. And I gave it to Pace. So in my opinion, he should have won the fight 29-28. And, you know, most people are like, oh, you're always favoring the Canadians. Well, you know, I'm Canadian. But at the same time, when a Canadian doesn't win, I'm going to say, listen, he shouldn't have won that fight. And I don't think Menjivar should have won that fight. I spoke to him afterwards, and he realizes that, you know what, he won, but there's some work to be done.
Yeah, I mean, he was winning the stand-up fight pretty much the entire fight. In that first round is the one where Pace had his back, and, you know, pretty much everyone said that Pace won that first round. I had it Menjivar the whole way until Pace landed that knee. And then that we were having a discussion outside about this. You know, there's certain submissions, depending on how close it is, or certain strikes that really changed the fabric of a fight, or the perception of who won. And I think this is one of those instances where Menjivar was so hurt from that knee that he was running the entire fight after that. And
it's a game changer.
Yeah, it was that kind of like that split moment where things just completely changed, where you said, this guy's losing now and this guy's winning. And even though he was winning for the majority of that round, and I think it's one of those fights that can open up a really good debate about judging, because this is one of the instances where I can see, you know, judging's going one way or the other. And I don't really think it's wrong or right either way. I think it's just one of those fights that, you know, just makes more discussion happen because of it.
This was something that we spoke about when we did the judging course with Big John McCarthy. And one of the things that Big John talks about is game changers. Did something occur in a round where one fighter was dominating and then his opponent did something to completely change the round? This is an example here that I'm believing he may use in future courses, guaranteed, because it just changed the outcome of that round.
And I told you this off air before, but I was thinking when that happened, I was wondering to myself, if this was a submission, if this was a very close submission, would the majority of fans out there believe that that's enough of a reversal of fortune? Is that enough for Pace to get the decision for that round? And I thought to myself, you know what, if it was a submission, I don't think that fans would change their
mind
as much.
Depending on the actual, for example, I think the example you gave me outside was a guillotine or I said a rear naked choke. If a situation where a fighter... you know, a guillotine choke and the guy's panicking and you know it's on there and he's working valiantly to get out because it's on. Same thing with the rear naked choke, that the guy's fighting his face off. That's a game changer. But, you know, one of the things we talked about, you mentioned Charles Oliveira against Jim Miller, that knee bar was on, and, you know, Oliveira was calm, and then just leaned over and tapped. Those types of situations are sort of different because you look and you're like, okay, this guy, it doesn't look like that submission is on. But when a submission is on and a fighter is just flailing around trying to get out, that's a game changer. That's a potential fight ender right there.
And another example we were talking about was Frankie Edgar and Tyson Griffin. I mean, Frankie Edgar pretty much had a shutout in that fight, but there was a very close knee bar at the end of that fight. But because he kept his composure, no one really saw that as a major component to the end of the fight. So, you know, I think it's definitely something we'll have to discuss further. I mean, there is a difference with submissions. I mean, if you get out of a submission, you're not terribly injured. You might be a little bit more tired. But when you get hit with a knee like this, the damage is so, it's just so damaging that it can really change the way a fighter fights from there on out. So I definitely think it's something that we have to just discuss in mixed martial arts.
Discuss. All right. Moving forward to the prelim fights that aired on Rogers Sportsnet. Chad Money Mendez took on Hani Yahya. He won a 3-round shutout, did what he had to do to preserve what hopefully will be a title shot in the future. Matt the Hammer Hamill took on Alexander Gustafsson. Gustafsson has a really weird sort of striking style, but eventually pulled off a second round TKO, in essence, putting Matt Hamill into retirement. The Hammer on his website basically stating he's done. He's had it. His body can no longer take it. He doesn't have the hunger or drive anymore. He's effectively retired in the sport. A lot of people are focusing now on Alexander Gustafsson. In essence, he did what Rampage Jackson could not do, and that's finish Matt Hamill. So people are paying attention to that. But remember, this was a guy that was defeated by Phil Davis. So Gustafsson is there, just not yet.
And then he joined the camp with Phil Davis after that loss. So he's training down there with Dominic Cruz and Phil Davis at a Team Alliance. But one thing I was thinking about this fight is Matt Hamill kind of looked like he was soft when he came in, but I also noticed how big Alexander Gustafsson looked.
Oh, he's a big dude.
I wouldn't be surprised in the future if he actually moved to heavyweight, especially with a teammate being, you know, in the contender status that Phil Davis is in. So that'll be an interesting thing maybe in the future.
All right. Opening bout of the broadcast saw Canadian Rory McDonald take out Mike Pyle as predicted. And I just want to say this very quickly because people are kind of giving me flack for it. I don't care. And I'm going to say it again. I said the same thing about George St. Pierre in 2002 when he defeated Thomas Denny. I said the same thing about John Bones Jones after his fight with Andre Guzmão. And I'm saying it right now about Rory McDonald. Not right now. I said it after Rory McDonald actually lost to Carlos Condit at UFC 115 in Vancouver. Rory McDonald will be a champion in the UFC one day. No ifs, ands, or buts. I don't say this often about fighters, but I said it about George. I said it about Johnny Bones Jones. And I'm saying it right now about Rory McDonald. He will be a champion in the UFC one day. You mark my words.
And you know what? The most impressive thing about his last two losses are two guys that are extremely hard to finish, and Mike Pyle and Nate Diaz, and he finished them both.
Wins, you mean?
Yeah, the wins. He dominated in the Nate Diaz, but I mean, he finished Mike Pyle extremely hard to finish. I mean, there was a lot of close chances that Pyle was getting out of, and I'm extremely impressed. This is probably the most impressed I've been with McDonald.
There's a lot more to come. Jorge Rivera took on Konstantinos Filipou. Filipou ends up winning a split decision over the veteran. I predicted Filipou to win. You predicted Rivera to win.
I did.
But it's one of those fights that could have gone either way. I've got to review this fight again. I want to see. I forgot what I scored it as, but I will review it again.
I scored it for Filipou even though I did think Rivera was going to win. But it was a very close fight and extremely exciting.
Brian Ebersole takes out Dennis Hallman. I predicted Ebersole, I believe. But at the same time, Ebersole takes out Hallman and earns a $70,000 bonus that Dana White basically stated was thank you for getting those hideous shorts off of TV as soon as possible. For those wondering about that selection of shorts, the Speedo shorts that Dennis Hallman was wearing, it was due to a lost bet. He lost a bet with a training partner that said you have to wear, you know, Speedo shorts into the octagon for your fight. We got 1 minute to go here. Vitor Belfort in the co-main event took on Yoshihiro Akiyama. No surprise here. Akiyama had no business trading bombs with Vitor Belfort. And after he threw a front kick to the face, Belfort was pretty ticked off because that's how Anderson Silva knocked him out. He switched into fifth gear and destroyed Sexyama. And in the main event, Rashad Evans took out Tito Ortiz. TKO, you can catch next week's episode of UFC Connected. We break down in the beginning of the end the Evans victory, the Belfort victory, and the McDonald victory. Real quick, 10 seconds, your thoughts on the main event, co-main event?
Well, they both went pretty much the way I thought they would go. The only thing that was kind of surprising was Tito Ortiz and that guillotine. I mean, he really went for it, and he actually rolled to a knee bar, which is actually a pretty good transition the way he went for it, so I was kind of impressed with that. On the Ebersole and Hallman thing, I want to say one thing is going into that fight, you should have seen the row, all the BAs, is the reaction to the shaved arrow and then the reaction to the shorts, and I was just sitting there. I had no explanation. because it just was a fiasco.
We'll talk more about that as well as other news in the world of mixed martial arts coming up after the break. You're listening to The Showdown on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590 in Toronto, and Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 960 in Calgary.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other. The Fan Club. Join online at fan590.com. This is The Showdown. Showdown with Showdown Joe on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Welcome back to The Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. Once again, my co-host in studio is Tyler Mason. You can catch us both on Twitter. Tyler is at Tyler Mason, myself at Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, Bellator, Dream, Strikeforce, and everything in between on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590 in Toronto, as well as all our pals in Calgary on the Fan 960. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines if you want to call in. I'll give out the numbers now if there's something you want to talk about right away, and I'll give the numbers off as well after Tyler and I go through a bunch of bullet points here in terms of stories. By the way, Tyler, Sunday, yep. Ultimate Golf Tournament at Tango Creek up in Thornton near Barrie, Ontario. Sold out.
Very good.
Thank you, everybody, that's going to come out and golf with myself, Mark Kalmanick, as well as as MMA promotional model Angie Chessman. All kinds of prizes out there. The Coors Light Girls will be out there. GP8, I think, will be there. Nick Kyprios's GP8 Water Company will be out there. It's going to be an exceptional affair. Golfing. We'll be having lunch, dinner, and then watching UFC Live 5, Dan Hardy versus Chris Lytle, which is a card we will get into next break, and we'll talk about a whack of things. All right, I'll tee up the phone lines right now. We'll get to the news, and then the phone lines again, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, and star 590 on your cell phone. Tyler, you got 5 seconds or less. You ready? Fedor breaks his silence, says Hendo bout was stopped early, doesn't blame Herm Dean, the referee, says don't listen to Dana White, will likely fight in Russia and perhaps New Year's Eve in Japan.
The fight was not stopped early. He went limp for a second. You definitely have to stop that one. Called the Russia fight. I pretty much thought, you know, they want to push their brand, and Fedor's the biggest fighter on that brand. So doesn't surprise me.
Brock Lesnar credits the WWE for all his success, and I concur.
And he should.
Over the past week, as we know, Alistair Overeem, Marlos Kunin, John Isle of Anaimo, and Valentine Overeem were all cut by Zuffa. Dana White told us, many in the media that were there, in essence, that they don't like the way Golden Glory does business. They're very difficult to deal with. They expect payment to Golden Glory, and then Golden Glory will disperse the payments to the fighters. Golden Glory has stated they do this because they take care of all the taxes for the fighters, and it's just the way it is. In case a promoter doesn't pay the fighters, they will cover it, and then they will deal with the promotion. UFC says they must deal with the fighters directly here in North America. That's how it's done. And Golden Glory has recently responded, stating they will allow payments directly to the fighters. They have no issues with that. They agree that they will give Alistair Overeem to the UFC in an exclusive deal. Again, these are all believe it when I see it sort of scenarios, in my opinion. But the other issue here is Golden Glory is a promoter as well, and they're going to be promoting shows with rumors happening that they may be promoting shows in Japan, which is a no-no in my opinion because the UFC wants to get out there. 5 seconds or less, I apologize.
Well, I don't think I could do it in 5 seconds, but to me it seems kind of this is all negotiation tactics on both sides. I think the big dog or the big name here is Alistair Overeem. I'm not surprised that Valentin Overeem was cut. I am surprised that Kunin and John Oliver Anaimo were cut, especially after Anaimo had the fight of the night in his last fight there. I think it's just negotiations. It's about Alistair Overeem. It really reminds me of the John Fitch likeness disagreement they had. And, you know, Dana White threatened to get rid of all the AKA guys, which would include, you know, Josh Koscheck and Mike Swick and a bunch of those guys. So I think it's just negotiation.
Dan Hendo Henderson could be back in the UFC. Dana White hinted at it. I say a massive pay cut will be required for Dan Hendo to get back into the UFC.
I'm not sure about the pay cut. I think the reason that he took the Strikeforce deal is probably
$800,000 a fight. It's pretty good.
I think it also had to do with the clinch gear. You see a lot of clinch gear all over Strikeforce. I think that was probably part of the reason. I do see Dan Henderson going to the UFC again, and arguably his name is a lot bigger now than it was when he left. So I'm not sure what they're going to be doing, but I think there's a lot of negotiations going to have to go on there.
I disagree. I think his name was bigger after he defeated Michael Bisping at UFC 100. Flyweight division in 2012. Will it happen?
I think it will. I think especially after this Ultimate Fighter with the bantamweights. In past Ultimate Fighters, we see a lot of those guys drop down in weight. So, I mean, they're going to have a lot of names coming out of the 135 division. you know, a lot of those guys might drop down to 125, especially since a lot of the guys trying out for the show are actual 125ers. So,
by the way, did you get a chance to watch Montague and Ian McCall's fight at Tacky Palace Fights?
Oh, I haven't seen it yet, but
awesome.
I want to see it for sure. And then he came out and said that he's the best 125er in the world. So. Yeah,
it's on showdown.ca. By the way, there's a poll on showdown.ca on the top right corner. Hopefully you can get out there and vote, ladies and gentlemen. In essence, I'm simply asking a very basic question that I tweeted out earlier today and said, you know what? I need to put a poll on my site, and I put one up there, and the question is very basic. Would you like to see an all-women cast of The Ultimate Fighter? Vote yes or vote no. Make sure you check out showdown.ca and put your vote in there, because I want to take a little tabulation to see if fans are in or fans are out. So I'd like to hear from you guys out there on the site. All right, MFC 31, October 7th, Remotari Sokoju will be taking on champion Ryan Jimmo. Ryan Jimmo is riding a 15-fight winning streak. I say Ryan makes it 16.
I'll see it. I'll believe it when I see it, because it just so a lot of the times when like an exciting matchup for Jimmo comes out like this, something happens and he's off the card. So I think this is a good fight. I want to see this fight, but I'm going to wait till it actually happens.
Have you seen some of my tweets from earlier this morning? I said the landscape of mixed martial Canadian mixed martial arts will change shortly. We're going to go back to 2001. Mark my words. Some news will be coming out next Wednesday. I don't want to give out too much information as I spoke to some of the particulars, but mark my words, if you were around in 2001, there are going to be some changes happening. The return, I don't want to give away anymore. All right, Pro Elite, they just released their new trailer. Obviously, Andre Arlovsky is in the main event. Joe Riggs will be taking on Kendall Grove. I'm keeping an eye on Regan Penn, BJ Penn's brother. Have you had a chance to see the Pro Elite trailer?
I haven't seen the Pro Elite trailer, but I will be keeping an eye on the Reagan Penn fight as well.
Check it out. It's 4.5 minutes that they could have really did in about 30 seconds to a minute. But by the way, Gary Shaw, remember the Gary Shaw, the Kimbo Slice is promoted? By the way, Kimbo Slice is fighting on Saturday night, his first boxing fight. Gary Shaw, quote, said, "I think it's laughable." Obviously, he's referring to the guys that are running Pro Elite right now. "People who are running it are jokes. It's not real. And the only game in town is the UFC," end quote. He went on to compliment the UFC, saying, you know, they're the big game in town in terms of don't even bother trying to start up an MMA promotion. If you want to compete with the UFC, it'd be akin to starting a fast food restaurant and try to compete with the likes of, you know, McDonald's or Burger King. TJ Thompson, who's running Pro Elite right now, tweeted and said, "Hey, Gary, pot/kettle/black.
Yeah, I do find it interesting that they are using the Pro Elite name.
Yes.
Because especially with all the turmoil that's kind of associated with that, and you know, I don't even know if they can keep track of which promotions were underneath that umbrella or which ones are still underneath that umbrella or which ones are... Yeah, it's such a mess that I think it's kind of funny that they're using that name again instead of, you know, coming up with a whole new brand and starting from scratch.
Have you seen the videos of Stefan Struve training for Pat Barry and vice versa, Pat Barry training for Stefan Struve?
I have. I actually think it's kind of cool that both guys are kind of playing off each other. You know, Pat Barry always has funny videos. And it's kind of cool to see his opponent coming back with another funny video back.
Which one was funnier?
I think the Pat Barry one was funnier.
That was classic.
See him jump.
Don't give it away. Don't give it away. Ladies and gentlemen, before Tyler gives it away, you have to go online and check out these two videos because they are hilarious. And I concur 100% with Tyler. The Pat Barry one is absolutely classic. But Stefan Struve was making a point with his. All right. Ryan Couture returns on September 23rd at Strikeforce Challengers 19. This makes me happy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's always good to see a guy get right back on the horse and, you know, start their career up again.
Randy Couture is in a new movie. The trailer just came out. The movie's called Setup. It features Bruce Willis and 50 Cent. It's not an MMA-related story, but it's Randy Couture. We all love Randy Couture. He was always great to me throughout his career. So if you get a chance, check out the trailer. I'm going to watch this movie.
I'm still waiting for Haywire. I want to see that one.
Oh, we're going to watch Haywire 100%. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's Gina Carano. It just looks like a great movie.
It looks like a really legit movie. Like, you know, one, even if it wasn't Gina Carano, would be worth seeing.
All right, we got to go faster here. We got a couple more to go here. Nate Marquardt versus Paul Daly will not be happening at Bama in the UK. Will this fight ever happen?
I don't know if it'll ever happen, but these guys got to fight again. I don't know if they're going to fight each other, but they definitely both have to get in there quickly.
James Toney versus Ken Shamrock right now has no date, no venue, and it has modified rules, 30 seconds only on the ground.
So it's not MMA.
Bingo. Joe Stevenson released by the UFC. Agree or disagree? I agree.
I agree too. It was just too many losses in a row. I'm sure, you know, he'll get back on his feet in another organization. He's got the name to do it.
UFC 140 will be taking place in Toronto December 10th. I am aiming to put Rory McDonald on this card against Josh Koscheck. Like it or dislike it?
I like it.
All right. Anything else you want to talk? You want to talk about Kawajiri dropping down to, was it bantamweight or featherweight?
Featherweight. Dream 17. I think we should get to the callers, though.
All right. I got a couple calls on hold here right now. All the stuff that I mentioned or that Tyler and I discussed, you can chime in. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, and *590 on your cell phone. First call of the night goes to Richard in Toronto. Richard, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on? Talk to me.
I want to talk about the Brazil card, the main event. I'm looking forward to that fight, Okami and Silva.
Yep.
And all my friends think I'm crazy, but I think that there might be an upset that night. They give this guy no chance at winning, but I think that he has the tools to maybe pull off the upset in Brazil.
Do your friends watch mixed martial arts like you do?
They watch it more than I do.
Then they should know that anything can happen in a mixed martial arts fight, regardless if it's Anderson Silva. Yushin Okami has a serious chance at winning this fight, believe it or not. I am picking Anderson because I think Anderson wants to make a point in Brazil. But if Yushin Okami emerges victorious, tell you one thing, Richard, I will not be surprised.
So do you think that this has potential to be, you know, we're about 2/3 of the way through the year right now. Do you think this has potential to be maybe fight of the year candidate, in your opinion?
I don't know about fight of the year. I mean, if Okami does to Silva what Chael Sonnen did to Silva at UFC 117, yes, definitely, because people will be at the edge of their seats, because I was on the edge of my seat. But yeah, anything can happen.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. I'm going to tell my friend that he does have a chance.
Thank you very much for calling in. Let's go to Otali. You got something to say?
Well, I think any fight that has Okami in it is pretty slim that it's going to be a fight of the year. I mean, he's mostly a counter fighter. They're very, you know, he has more of a slow pace. So I don't really think you'll see Okami in a fight of the year candidate anytime soon.
Let's go to Rob in Newcastle. Rob, what's up?
Hey, Joe, how are you doing?
Good. Yourself?
Good, thank you. I just wonder what you think, where Tito goes from here. Not that I'm a huge fan of his. Matter of fact, I don't like all his after fight antics after his win, but he did come in, beat Ryan Bader. And now after this loss, is he humbled, or does he walk off in the sunset, or does he come back hungrier? What do you think he does from here?
Yeah, Tito's a changed man, actually. Tito's changed for quite some time. He's far, like you said, he's far more humbler now. He's learned his lesson. I think what he's trying to do now is angle for a trilogy fight with Forrest Griffin, pending whether or not Forrest Griffin gets past Shogun Rua at UFC 134 in Brazil. If Forrest Griffin loses, you'll be hearing from Tito Ortiz very, very quickly. He wants another piece of Forrest Griffin. Tyler, what's up?
I'm going to throw three names out to you, and I'm going to see which one you would want to see Tito fight the most, okay? Dan Henderson, Gegard Mousasi, or Alexander Gustafsson?
Gustafsson. I like that fight.
And they both fought recently, and yep. I think it's a good fight with a young prospect against a veteran like Tito.
Perfect. Rob, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Gary in Toronto. Gary, what's up?
Yeah, Joe, a question. UFC coming up December 10th. I can see McDonald in there and Koscheck. Good fight. However, do you think George St. Pierre will be thrown in the card then? And the other question, Tito Ortiz, it's a comment. Tito Ortiz should follow Joel Stevenson's footsteps.
Ooh, wow. There you go. Thanks for the call, Gary. GSP will not be able to be on the Toronto card. It's very unlikely, solely because his fight with Nick Diaz is only, I think, 6 weeks before the Toronto event. So it'll be too difficult for him. He's fighting on Halloween weekend. This event is December 10th. It's exactly 6 weeks, actually. He will not have enough time to train for an opponent to defend his belt. So I highly, highly, highly doubt George St. Pierre will be on the Toronto card. We got Joe in London. Joe, what's up?
Hey, Joe. How you doing, guys?
Good, good. What's going on? Oh, Mr. Botnick.
Yeah, man.
How are you? What's
great
up?
Fantastic. Listen, I haven't heard of me, but I haven't been paying much attention. What's the status with Cain Velasquez? And do you think there's a chance that that title fight could be heading to Toronto for 140?
Yes. Can it happen at 140? Yes, but I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to save Cain Velasquez for the upcoming show in California. I believe it's UFC, Tyler, am I wrong, UFC 137?
139.
139. That's, yes, the week before, or the event between George St. Pierre and the event between Toronto. The reason being is Cain Velasquez is a huge, huge draw in the Latino community, and he's from that area. You might see John Fitch. What's that?
It's in San Jose.
San Jose, right? He's from the area. He trains out of American Kickboxing Academy. So that's where we're hopefully going to be seeing Cain Velasquez next. I don't think it'll be in Toronto, but yes, he is still recovering from the shoulder injury. We got 15 seconds before we go to break. What do you want? You good?
I'm good.
You're smiling. Tyler, by the way, once again, ladies and gentlemen, who listen to the show on a regular basis, is all but lying down.
I have to this time.
He's complaining that the mic is too loose and it's falling around.
This mic moves all over the studio. I can't control it.
You button your shirt. You stand up straight. You're out of control. All right. Again, your callers after the break as well. You're listening to the Showdown on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590 in Toronto, and Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 960 in Calgary.
This is the Showdown with Showdown Joe on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Welcome back to the Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. Once again, in studio, my man Tyler Mason. Catch Tyler Mason on Twitter, at Tyler Mason. Myself, at Showdown Joe. Check us both on our Facebook accounts. Hey, man, I'm really excited about this golf tournament on Sunday. Because, you know, Jimmy Cotton's going to be there with the camera guy, with Randy, our camera guy, or one of the camera guys that works for Sportsnet. And Jimmy's all about, like, ripping me in terms of how terrible I am at golf. At least I try.
Is this going to be like a Charles Barkley round?
If I break 100, I'll be... Actually, the last round with my agent, Chris, we shot... I think I shot a 90-something. I was happy. But that would be trending over 18 holes. This was over, I think, 9 holes plus a couple playoff holes. But we would have trended to about 90s and change. So Jimmy Cotton's going to be all over me on Sunday at Tango Creek. So
As long as it's not like mini putt and you're shooting 100, then you're okay.
No. I'm going to be focused. Mark Hominick, I can't let Mark Hominick beat me. He said, Mark Hominick, rip me. In a recent interview that we did on Sportsnet.ca, and I will not allow him to use me as a stepping stone when it comes to the golf world. I will take him out 100%. But we're going to have some fun. Don't forget the poll on Showdown.ca. Would you like to see an all-women's cast of The Ultimate Fighter? Have your say. Click yes or click no at Showdown.ca. Again, tons of calls. If you want to talk about some more mixed martial arts stuff before Tyler and I get to the official fight card and our predictions for UFC Live 5, Hardy versus Lytle, give us a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, and star 590 on your cell phone. Let's go to Ken, who's been waiting patiently, and I don't know where Ken is from, but Ken, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Where are you calling from?
Toronto.
Toronto, what's up, my man?
Quick question. If they do decide to keep him around and they convince him to cut to welterweight, how do you think Akiyama does down there?
Wow. That's a very good question. Only because I think Akiyama's going to be fighting Wanderlei Silva in Japan if they do decide to hold that show in February. But if Akiyama does decide to go to 170, Ken, honestly, I don't know if I've officially jumped off the Akiyama bandwagon. I'm no longer I'm not a fan. I just don't think he comes into fights with strategy anymore. I mean, the Chris Lieben fight, he should have simply did what he had to do. You know, don't sit there and trade bombs with Chris Lieben because the guy will not be knocked out. You don't have the power to knock him out. And then he goes and he fights Vitor Belfort. And, you know, going into that fight, we predicted wholeheartedly on this show and on UFC Connected, if Akiyama shows up there, doesn't leave his ego outside the cage and stands and trains with Belfort, he is going to get hurt and knocked out. And what does he go and do in these fights? Does the complete opposite of what he's supposed to do. So, and at welterweight, they're way faster than at middleweight. They don't hit as hard, but they're faster. So I don't know how good he's going to do. Tyler, your thoughts?
I think he'd definitely be able to handle the power at welterweight, but I don't think he would be able to handle the speed. He might do okay with the wrestlers, but I really think that the speed is going to be the difference. We saw with Vitor how much the speed can make a difference. And
that's at middleweight.
And that's at middleweight, exactly.
Now, Vitor's a special case, by the way.
But it is going to be a lot faster at welterweight. So, I mean, I think with his judo, he could handle a lot of the wrestlers. But, yeah, I think it would be a lot of – he'd be on the losing end of a lot of decisions.
What do you think, Ken?
I think he actually does fairly well. I mean, I would put him in there – probably with a top 10 opponent. I think he could actually handle it. Like, considering that he didn't really have much of a training camp coming into the Belfort fight, I think it's unfair to judge him off that.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Well, what do you mean by training camp, though? You had a great training camp with Belfort.
Well, no, Akiyama?
Yeah.
Did his dojo not close down?
Oh, but he was still training, though.
Yeah, where was he training, though?
It's three different spots in Japan, and then once over here in Extreme Couture, to my understanding.
My understanding was he had a bit of turmoil going on with that training camp. But
actually, you know what? He wasn't at Extreme Couture because Vitor was there. That's I think I know what you're saying, Kenny. Yeah, there was a bit of an issue there. But like you said, if he goes down to 170 and they convince him, who knows? Maybe it'll rejuvenate his career and it might be a good thing. And maybe you might be right. But at the same time, he's just the game plan. The game plan. Thanks for the call, by the way, Ken. I don't like the game plan that he has anymore. He's just not going in there very smart.
Especially with someone who's such a good judoka, to go in there and strike in every single match. I mean, we say this about guys whenever they use just one discipline, whether it's their strong point or not, you have to mix it up. You have to be able to make them think, oh, maybe he's going to take me down. Maybe he's going to judo throw me. And then Akiyama can use his striking. But he just tends to go in there, you know, strike with everybody he gets in there with. And he only tries to go for a judo throw when he's, like, really in a lot of trouble.
All right, we got Cal in Edmonton. Cal, what's up?
How you doing tonight?
Good. Yourself?
Not too bad. I'm just pretty pumped for the GSP fight coming up.
Okay.
I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on what you guys, like, how well do you think Diaz will actually do against GSP?
I think Diaz is going to push GSP. I mean, I'm going to pick GSP to win this fight. No ifs, ands, or buts. I think he's just that much more of a better fighter than Nick Diaz. But at the same time, I think Diaz is going to push the pace and try and break George St. Pierre, which is not going to be an easy thing to do. But this guy trains. This guy that does triathlons for fun to keep in shape. So I don't think cardio is going to be an issue. But I think GSP is going to figure out a strategy with Greg Jackson and with Faraz Zahabi to break this guy down and win the fight. But don't be surprised. Diaz is going to push the pace. Tyler?
Well, there's a couple of reasons why Diaz is such an interesting matchup. And one is how dangerous his guard is. I mean, a lot of the Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighters that GSP has been fighting, their guard isn't their really strong point. It's more their top game submissions that are where they're most dangerous. With Diaz, he's very dangerous off his back. So you might not see GSP going in for those takedowns a lot. And we've seen Diaz stand with some of the best strikers in this division, and he beats them at their own game. So that's where the interest is in the GSP-Diaz fight. It's not so much the wrestling. We obviously know that GSP has the better wrestling, but it's the other disciplines where I think it's really, really interesting.
I think, in my opinion, Cal, I think GSP, when it comes to the stand-up portion, is not going to engage Nick Diaz in a war like Paul Daly did. I think we're going to see a lot of footwork, a lot of angles, a lot of in and out, pop, 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 get out, pop, 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 and let Diaz continue to follow him around. And as soon as Diaz gets comfortable, wham, we're going to see a takedown. We're going to see some ground and pound. We're going to see GSP stand back up. We might see the same thing we saw against BJ Penn, where he takes Diaz to the cage and lets Diaz's arms tire out, depending on how they believe that's going to work. But I think we're going to see another dominant performance by George St. Pierre.
Right on. Well, thanks for your time, guys, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, man. Thanks for calling in all the way from Edmonton, which I got to visit soon because I think Mark Pavlich is hounding me to come out there. I've been to Edmonton about two or three times. Great city. Love that city. I love the casino out there, the River Cree and Enoch. Good times out there. All right, Mr. Mason, are you ready?
I'll get ready.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. We are going to talk some UFC Live 5, Dan Hardy versus Chris Lytle. We'll start off with the preliminary fights. We have, 6 minutes to get this done, which is Latin for neither you or I can babble.
Yeah, not enough time.
Not enough time to babble. All right. Let's start off real quick. Bantamweight bout, Edwin Figueroa. If you ever see this guy fight, he's tough as nails, taking on Jason Reinhardt, a mixed martial arts veteran. I will go with the young buck Figueroa to win this fight.
I'm going to go with Figueroa as well.
Jacob Christmas Volkman, who has a recent story out there about training with Hector Lombard. Not a big fan of Hector Lombard at the American Top Team. You should check out the story online. They don't get along very well. Taking on Danny Castillo. This is a lightweight bout. This one's going to go to the decision. I think Volkman will pull it off.
Yeah, this is a tough one to call. I mean, Castillo looked really good in his last two fights. I'm going to go with Volkman as well. I think he's just a better grinder. So I think if it gets in a situation where both guys are really pushing each other, I think Volkman will come out on top.
Cole Miller taking on TJ O'Brien. This is a tough fight to break down. Most people will automatically go to Cole Miller. I think TJ O'Brien's going to put up a good fight, but Cole Miller will somehow find a way to win this fight.
I think Cole Miller is going to find a submission in this fight. I think he definitely wants to rebound badly from the Matt Wyman loss. So I think he's going to get back on his feet and back on the winning track.
Alex Bruce Leroy Caceres taking on Jimmy Hetz. Hetz will win this fight.
I'm going to go with Bruce Leroy. I mean, Hetz looks like a serious contender, but I don't like when fighters come in on short notice. So I'm going to go with Bruce Leroy.
Carlos Vimola taking on Hany Marquez. This is not going to be a pretty fight, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, all these fights that we're mentioning right now will be available on Facebook. This is going to be a grudge match. Honey Marcus comes from a lineage or a career built in some of the toughest organizations in Brazil. But Carlos Vermola is a mean, mean man. This one is going. This one has potential to be fight of the night. And you're going to pick first.
Well, I mean, I did pick earlier with the fantasy hits that me and Joseph Van could do. And you were watching, and I know this was the hardest fight for me to decide on because Vermola looked amazing in the Petruzzelli fight. His wrestling looked great. But the big reason that I decided to go with Ronnie Marquez is because the Brazilian circuit is a lot tougher than the English circuit. So I think his wins are a lot more impressive. It's going to be a tough fight, though, because Vermola looks like a beast.
Yeah, this is a very tough fight to break down. I'm going to flip a quarter right now. Heads for Carlos, tails for Hani. Flip the quarter. I will go with Carlos. We'll go with Carlos. And by the way, what Tyler was talking about was the fantasy tournament, UFC Connected Fantasy Tournament. You can catch the link at sportsnet.ca/MMA. If you want to go directly to it, sign up, make your picks. It's at mmatournament.sportsnet.ca.
Do you know who's leading out of us at Sportsnet?
No, you are.
No, you are.
I am. All right. Well, I should be leading, right? Because I'm the guy that people come to for all this stuff. But, man, picking fights is no
matter. I had a terrible first round, so I'm trying to climb my way back up. But, yeah, you're in the lead right now.
That's me, you, Joe, and James Bryden?
Yep.
Are Jimmy and Jacob involved?
No.
Jimmy and Jacob.
But the winner from the last seasons, he's also on the leaderboard there, so anyone can check and compare themselves to all of us.
Am I allowed to win the TV?
No, I don't think any of us that work for the company, I don't think we're allowed to win any of the prizes.
That does not make me happy. All right, Ed Herman taking on Kyle Noak. I'm going to go with Ed Herman.
I'm going to go with Kyle Noak. I think he has a slight striking advantage and a slight submission advantage, but I do think the wrestling is in Herman's.
I like the momentum Herman's on.
Yeah, and whenever the wrestling's in someone's corner, I really think that they pretty much are, you know, they have a better chance of winning. But I'm going to go with Noak because the other two disciplines, I think he has a slight advantage.
Oh, by the way, they have a little tag over top of my picture. But yeah, I guess it's over top of my picture at the website. It says Match Wits with reigning champ Mick MacD now featured in the leaderboard. This guy's getting props. Or girl.
Yeah, and yeah, he deserves it. He won last time.
I want the TV. Joseph Benavidez taking on Eddie Wineland. This is a bantamweight bout. I've got Joseph Benavidez, Joe Kondo, Joby Wan Kenobi all over this.
I agree. I mean, he's just a compact firecracker. I mean, this guy has energy to go for days, and he's just really tough.
CB Dolloway taking on Jared Hammond. Jared Hammond making his debut at middleweight, I believe, and that's Latin for CB Dolloway winning this fight.
Yeah, I'm not... the biggest fan of Jared Hammond. I think CB Dolloway has a lot going for him, especially since he mixes so many of those chokes with his wrestling. So I think Dolloway's going to come away with
this one.
His
submissions are brutal.
Yeah, his chokes are really good. Oh.
All right, main card, which you can catch exclusively in Canada on Rogers Sportsnet, starts off with Amir Sadala taking on Dwayne Ludwig. Amir Sadala has shown a propensity for Muay Thai. You don't want to do that with Dwayne Ludwig. If he doesn't check his ego at the door a la Sexyama, he will get hurt. And I'm going to pick Dwayne Ludwig to win this fight.
I'm going to pick Sadala. I think he's smart enough not to keep the fight, you know, completely on the feet. I think if he's in trouble, he'll definitely go for those takedowns. And Ludwig seems to be on the tail end of his career. I think Sadala takes this one.
Charles Oliveira taking on Donald Cerrone. Are we allowed to pick in this fight or no?
This is a very tough fight to pick.
Because we're like, are there any bigger Charles Oliveira fans than you and I?
There might be a few.
In Canada?
Maybe not.
All right. And Donald Cerrone will be more than happy to match Muay Thai and submissions with Oliveira.
And another fighter that we're big fans of. So, I mean, I think this is a very interesting fight. This is probably my pick for fight of the night.
If you've never seen what Tyler Mason looks like, ladies and gentlemen, but you know what Donald Cerrone looks like, that's Tyler Mason. That's what he looks like. All right. Sorry, who did you pick?
I'm going to go Charles Oliveira. I think he's just a little bit better in the submission game. I mean, the wrestling, I think, is a wash. I don't think neither of these guys have very good wrestling. But I think Oliveira has the stand-up to stick with Cerrone. But that's the thing. Cerrone's, I mean, like, one of them's a little better in one discipline, one's a little better in the other. But I think Oliveira takes this. Yeah, I think he's a little bit more poised, but very hard to call.
I think if Cerrone starts off too calm like he did in his last fight, Oliveira will eat him up. And I think Oliveira will win this fight. If he doesn't win this fight, he's going to be knocked off my prospects list, even though he's still 21. Because he lost to Jim Miller. All right, we got a couple seconds to go here. Speaking of Jim Miller, he's taking on Benson Smooth Henderson. I got Jim Miller in this fight.
I got Miller too.
Dan Henderson, wow. The outlaw, Dan Hardy, cannot lose this fight. Four fights in a row that you lose, you'll be out of the UFC. He's taking on Chris Lytle. I will go with Chris Lytle.
I'm going to go with Lytle. I think he's better in more places.
But we want to see Dan Hardy win because we're huge fans of Dan Hardy. If his wrestling is up to par, he wins this fight. If not, Light will win. Thank you much for coming in.
Anytime.
All right, you've been listening to The Showdown on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590 in Toronto, and Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 960 in Calgary.